Welcome to a homegrown family podcast, where we grow the produce and the kids.
Hey everybody, welcome to a homegrown family podcast. I'm your host, Joe Mettler, and today we're going to get an internal perspective on homeschooling. So today I have my wife, Nora, joining us here today, and my aunt, Joni, my godmother, Joni, who got to witness me being baptized into the Catholic Church. Joni and my wife, Nora, with me here today. Nora is probably the primary stakeholder in this homeschooling endeavor. And so we only have a two-year-old, so we're not homeschooling at all yet. But this is something that Nora thinks more strongly about than I do. I haven't really given it a lot of thought. And so this podcast is also a learning experience for me, or this episode in particular, when I get to ask my Aunt Joni what her experience has been homeschooling, I guess. So, Yeah, so welcome, Joni. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for asking me, Joe.
The wisdom of our elders. So
that elder, come on now.
I know your hair's white. No. So for those of you who haven't listened to some of the previous episodes, I've talked a little bit about my family and my dad's family and my grandpa's family growing up and kind of what their homestead looked like back then. I talked about my dad's family and how many siblings he had, and Joni is my only aunt on that side of the family, and she is the second to the youngest. So not quite the baby, but pretty close.
That's right. They all say I was spoiled, but I disagree.
Well, you know, the only girl, what do you do? So Nora and I in our lives are debating or considering or ultimately trying to plan on homeschooling our children before we fully commit to the idea. I thought it would be a great idea to talk to individuals like my Aunt Joni, who might have more experience or does have more experience than I do, because I really don't, but get an idea of what it was like for them homeschooling their children. Nora and I would like to prepare as much as possible for when that time comes. And so Nora's been doing a lot of research, and so here we are today to gain a little bit more expertise and wisdom and kind of learn a little bit more from those who have done this before us. So I think it's important to not just jump into homeschooling with a bunch of misconceptions and preconceived ideas of what it's going to be like homeschooling our children. So it may not be as glorious of a time as one might expect thinking about it or getting into it. You know, I know my just general idea is like, oh, kids will be home, be nice. They can spend a couple hours homeschooling and then they can help me out with all my orchard stuff or whatever, you know, in the off time, you know, and that's just probably a little bit of a daydream, you know, in my head. So I kind of want to get a better idea of what this may involve. It could actually be a really stinky time. You know, you just might suck at teaching. And just, you can't do it, you know, and it might just actually drive you crazy to have your kids home all the time. You know, it's not for everybody to homeschool, right? And so teaching, balancing parenting and managing the home is all part of it. If one person is not fully committed to the idea, you know, one parent, then it makes it more difficult. The other thing about homeschooling, though, is that you can give it a test drive. And if it doesn't work out, you know, there's other options available. So, yeah. So, both Nora and I grew up with aunts and uncles who homeschooled their kids. I had my Aunt Joni and my Aunt Christy, my Uncle Bill, and I guess Uncle Brian too, the combination of them all, right, homeschooled their children. And Nora, you got a couple that also homeschooled in your family.
Yeah, I had two aunts that homeschooled their kids. Well, they're both still homeschooling right now. And then one of them transitioned when the kids got older to the local public school. I think they transitioned in like ninth grade. So homeschooled up until ninth grade and then transitioned.
Yeah. And Joni herself was brought up in public school. My dad also in public school. And then I ultimately went to the same public school. And so we didn't turn out half bad. And so sometimes I think of, you know, it's a lot of extra work to go into this idea of homeschooling my children when I turned out just fine in public school.
It was really nice because it's small. You know, in Swanville, you were known, and those small classrooms make a big difference. So,
yeah. So Joni grew up going to public school. What drew you to homeschool your own children? At what point in your life did you decide, hey, I'm going to do this? And when growing up, were there other homeschooling individuals that you knew of while you were attending public school that kind of helped influence you?
Yeah, I don't really remember any other families that homeschooled growing up. I don't remember it being a thing. And I was in college and I met some people that homeschooled through different business things. And then When I moved to Bram, then there was one family in our church that homeschooled. And so there wasn't a lot, you know, Katie was born in 92. So then we would have started homeschooling like 97, right? Am I doing that right? I homeschool. 98, right? Somewhere in there. And we were still, you know, there weren't a lot of us around. I really liked what I saw from the homeschooling community. And really, I just kind of thought, you know, I just have the one kid. Why can't I just try it? I could probably do this just as well as the school can. We always took it year by year, you know, okay, let's do it this year and see how it goes. And then look at it again the next year and see if this is still what's good for our family. So it's kind of how we got started.
Yeah. So what was your, you went music education, or what was your background in terms of what you went to school for?
So I have a bachelor's in music performance, piano and voice. And that actually was helpful in homeschooling because I never worked full time outside of the home. I, for the most part, just gave lessons out of the home and then, you know, worked at various churches and music ministry. So I never had to work full time, which really was helpful in homeschooling, too.
Yeah, we had some flexibility and we're able to kind of get a secondary income, you know, of sorts also to help support.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that homeschool was not popular when you were in school because of truancy laws? Like, I just remember like some people that I talked to saying like their family was homeschooled, but they had to keep it like on the down low. They couldn't go outside, like they had to shut their curtains.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I never had that experience for when we were homeschooling. That wasn't an issue. But then again, we lived in the country where, you know, we didn't have that issue. We don't see our neighbors.
Yeah.
Very good. One day we'll get there, hopefully. So it seems like you just kind of, you met other individuals that homeschooled their kids and their family, and you liked what you saw. Did you have any other factors that may have impacted your decision? I think a lot of people use homeschooling as a way of sheltering their kids from the outside world. And so I don't know if that kind of played a little bit of a factor in your decision, maybe your faith or just your morals in general.
You know, one other thing was I liked my kids, you know, so I liked to be with them and I just didn't, you know, it became a lifestyle. But as far as our faith goes, that wasn't honestly a major factor when we began, but it was by the end. So okay. We have 10 years between our oldest and youngest. And for sure, homeschooling our youngest was one of the main reasons was our faith, because our faith isn't being, let's see.
Well represented.
in the public schools. So, yeah.
As a decision of the household, were you in Brian pretty much on the same page as far as homeschooling when it came to that? Or
I would say Brian was more for it than I was.
Oh.
Yeah, because I really did have a great schooling experience, you know, in high school and elementary. And Brian had a little rougher time and he totally could see how he would prefer to have his kids homeschooled. So, yeah.
Great. So that's a little bit of background, I guess, in how Joni got into homeschooling. And I guess those listeners here, we're going to talk a little bit more maybe about her curriculum a little bit and teaching methods and some of the challenges, the reaping rewards of the whole experience. So that's kind of what we're looking forward to in the rest of this episode. Again, just thank you all for listening, but so let's jump into it. What type of specific styles or curriculums did you kind of use, or did you kind of change the flow? Did it change every depending on the year, or like, yeah, how'd that all work out?
Yeah, that was an evolving process for sure. You know, when I started out, because I just had the one, I really just picked and chose what I thought looked good. And even then, it wasn't really very faith-based. It wasn't a big factor. And as, you know, we added on another child 6 years later and we're homeschooling two and then three, I found that I needed something that was a little more structured. So like at first with Katie, I loved five in a row. It was so much fun. It was very, you know, it included all the subjects in this one, you know, like book based.
And then it was like a package deal where you just bought the package and then did all the things.
Where you read this literature and then you did your, your history and your science off of that book that you were reading.
Oh, sure.
I really enjoyed that. But as we got busier and, you know, we were running with Katie or, you know, whatever, and then the others needed to do their stuff on the run, then we ended up doing more of a set curriculum. And we can go into specifics if you'd like. And definitely those, because like I said, my faith was evolving and my reasons for homeschooling were evolving. And those curriculums, it was important to me that they included our Catholic faith in it. And it was in everything. And I loved that about the curriculums that I chose because, you know, it was just so natural.
Yeah. And we might get into specific curriculums more in detail. But yeah, why don't you go ahead and go into a little bit of brief description, maybe quickly, or at least tell us what type of curriculums you did choose.
Right. And, you know, I highly recommend going to like Catholic homeschool conferences where you can go and look and see and touch and hear different people's perspectives, you know, about the different curriculums. And they usually have used curriculum sales, which is nice. But I use some Seton curriculum. I use Catholic Heritage. I always liked the idea of doing some of the great books, but by high school years, because of the busyness, I just couldn't quite pull that together. And I liked Catholic Heritage because it was structured enough to keep us on track, but flexible enough that, you know, we could still change things a little bit if we needed to for this kid or that kid.
Curriculums you've heard of, Nora?
Yeah, I've heard of Seton. And they're the college that's based with is Christendom, isn't it, in Fort Royal?
I should know, but I don't. And when I use Seton, I just use some of their books. I never enrolled in Seton. A lot of people, and you know, I have a lot of homeschool friends, obviously, now. Quite a few that have successfully enrolled their kids in the Seton school. And, you know, they do the whole thing where the Seton, they send their work into Seton. Seton corrects it and gives them a grade. I never did that. I didn't feel like I needed that much structure.
That seems like, yeah, because my aunt does Seton, but she does all the grading herself.
Right.
So she just uses all of like kind of the packaged curriculum or picks and chooses subjects that she wants to. And then just proceeds as normal. Like she does all the grading and everything like that.
Right, right.
Yeah. The one I'm looking at is Memoria Press, which is the Christian Catholic out of Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
It's Christian, so it's not specifically Catholic, but then I also thought about taking like Seton's religion or Mother of Divine Grace's religion. Yeah, but I just like the structure that I guess that Memoria Press has because I feel like I need a little structure starting out and then can go. Like once I, you know what I mean? Once we get a hang of it, kind of do the more. Yeah.
And there's a difference, you know, in price range. So depending on a person's budget for homeschooling, frankly, you can find everything you need at the library when they're little, even when they're bigger. You know?
Yep.
So you can budget as low as that, or, you know, you can do the whole enrolling them and doing that whole thing. Or you can do a combination of a co-op like that has a couple class days and then the rest you do on your own. And so there's all kinds of ways. There's so many resources now, so many more than when I started. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're kind of going through all the different curriculums and things as you went from one child to another, did you have to adjust based on the child?
Yeah, for sure. Because every kid is different, right? And one might have a stronger aptitude for reading, but not as much for math. So you might need to do something, you know, that's more hands-on or, you know, just different things. Some kids work independently better. Katie, we really tried to, she was so musical that we made sure we got her, and that's another thing we can get into, but we made sure we got her into the public school choir and band programs, you know. Eli, reading was really hard for him, so we did a lot of audio courses for him.
I remember you talking about that one time.
Yeah, when he heard something, he remembered it, but boy, reading was so hard. I would read out loud to him some of his curriculum and he would remember the stuff, but he just yeah, I'm pretty sure we never had him tested, but I'm pretty sure he's dyslexic. So,
so you know, I don't enjoy reading by any means. Mostly because sometimes I have to read things multiple times, and my boss upon occasion is like, "Hey, did you say that number backwards?" I'm like, yeah, I meant 402, not 204. Yeah. You know, whatever. Small things like that. He's like, are you dyslexic? I'm like, not that I know of, you know.
There's different levels of dyslexia, too. So, you know.
Yeah. And just the other day, Nora goes, are you dyslexic? I'm like, I don't think so. but I guess one of the signs Nora was saying of that is basically if you don't enjoy reading, it might be because it's challenging for you.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We would change based on our life circumstances, too. You know, it was really nice to have everything kind of all condensed and into workbooks when we went trucking with Brian. You know, then we could just take it all with and go do school in the truck and explore the United States in the meantime.
Yeah, that sounds like that's one of the rewards of homeschooling, is you have some flexibility like that.
Yeah.
I know that's one of the things that Nora and I would look forward to, and I think we kind of mentioned it, that in our Rome Sweet Home traveling with kids episode, was like, hey, you know, if we wanted to go learn about, maybe we're learning about geology or something in our curriculum, you know, then maybe we can go take a little road trip to the Grand Canyon, you know, and then show them some of the stuff. And, you know, when you talk about the ocean and ocean critters and stuff, go to the ocean, you know, and see if you can find a shell, you know, things like that. So I think that's definitely a perk that we kind of see. And it sounds like you're kind of relaying the same message. So that's awesome.
Right. And what you're saying, too, is that you have the family time. One of the big things about homeschooling, you know, I wouldn't say I use it as a way to shelter my kids, but I would say that you have more control of who your kids' influences are and what your kids' influences are in homeschooling. And one of those influences is, of course, your family. So, you having that family time and the togetherness was my favorite part of homeschooling. Watching my kids play and mess around in between doing the schoolwork gave me great joy.
You mentioned how you had Katie, your eldest, go in and be a part of the band and choir and things like that. So one of the fears, I guess, is, you know,
Joe's biggest fear.
It's not my biggest fear.
Joe's biggest fear is the question that every homeschool mom gets asked. How are you going to socialize your kid? Was that ever a concern for you? How do you answer that when someone comes up and says that? It's right. Joe's biggest fear.
No, wait. I'm awkward enough that I know my kids are going to be slightly socially awkward. It's okay.
Joe, are you saying my children are socially awkward?
No, I don't think so. And I've met many homeschool kids that are, you know, very adept socially. But I have met some that are really awkward. And so right. I've met both, you know.
Yeah. So I obviously have been asked that question. What about socialization? And I would say, first off, do you really want your children socialized in this world? First off, you know, it's a different world than when I was being raised, you know. That's the first thing. And number two is the idea of your children being able to play with kids the same age as them. Socialization, or is the idea of them being able to play with a wide range of ages socialization? My children, I talked to them a little bit about this. One of the things they thought was a benefit of homeschooling was the fact that they could actually have a conversation with adults when they were kids. And that's a very social thing to be able to do.
Yeah. You know, Nora, I did do a little bit of research before I did this podcast. You should be proud.
Not any of the books I read. Have you read?
I read that one little pamphlet.
A pamphlet. A 3-page pamphlet.
He needs a podcast to listen to.
I'm going to re-listen to this one.
But I was reading that, and I don't remember what the exact numbers or statistics are, but it was saying to some degree, homeschooled individuals will have better relationships with their parents and will have better relationships with older adults. And I don't know, I can kind of see how that could be true. Yeah,
I feel like my kids are fairly close too. And that's kind of a benefit that the sibling bonds are there. you know, and they all have friends. They all are functioning in this world, you know, working and living life. And I would say pretty successfully. So I'm pretty proud of them.
Yeah. And being from a big family, that helps, right? Because we always got together, you know, several times a year at Grandpa and Grandpa's farm for Easter and Christmas and this and that, where, you know, probably 14 years older than Eli, I think, something like that. So, I mean, he gets together at these events and there's 30 of us, not quite 30, I don't think, but vary in age and demeanor and everything else. And so there's that too. But you mentioned a little bit about your homeschooling community and where you were homeschooling your kids. What type of community aspects, or did you like co-ops that you got together and like taught together, or yeah, talk a little bit about that if you would.
Yeah, no, we almost always have belonged to some kind of co-op. When we started, it was kind of just a generic co-op where we did FIED and some of those things that you can't really do at home. I think we maybe did some art projects and, you know, just pretty laid back. And then we've been involved in other co-ops where it was very structured and academic. We've kind of run the whole gamut. We've done strictly Catholic ones. We've done Christian ones. And then we've done some that were neither. There's quite a few, you know, opportunities for that nowadays for co-ops. And they were important to our kids. And they made friends at those co-ops. Yeah. So I would say that I would definitely get involved in co-op. It's a good opportunity for them to be taught by someone else, too. If they're taking a class from a different parent. We also were involved in it was called Hero. It's a co-op, a homeschool co-op too, but it was a way for when the kids were older to take some subjects that I didn't want to teach them. I think Jackie especially did Hero, and she, you know, I think she took chemistry there and maybe algebra or geometry. I don't know. I can't remember for sure now, but so subjects that I wasn't sure that I wanted to teach at that time, I could have them do it at a co-op. Eli did writing at a co-op, and that worked really well to have someone else teaching him that too. And then there's PSEO, which is a great option for your homeschool families. That's, you know, where they can get college credit for classes. And it also gets them out kind of in a safe way into the world a little bit more, having someone else teach them and being around a variety of people. You have to be really careful with that too, but yeah.
Yeah, in this day and age too, we have probably the internet co-ops, I'm sure, that are just plentiful also, where you can kind of jump into that realm of things.
Right. I can't remember. Maybe it's called Homeschool Connections I think that's what it's called, where it's all online classes that your kids can be a part of. And I know lots of people that have taken advantage of those too. You know, internet classes are a great option to do some subjects that, you know, you might like to farm out to someone else.
Right. Yeah. I want to kind of get more independent in their learning and kind of just hop on and take class for an hour or whatever. And, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then as far as extracurriculars, I don't think your kids were involved in too many other things besides music and choir and things like that. Or did they, for us dads out here that are listening to this podcast, it's like, hey, I want my kid to be a football star, or, you know, be a 3-point shooter or whatever, you know. And I know when I was in high school, we had a couple of different families, I guess, that brought their kids on board for track. And, you know, and it was kind of like a team sport, but yet individualized. So it was like gave an opportunity to do their own thing if they were more of a quiet individual, or that gave them the opportunity to socialize, you know. And so I remember that being an option, or I know that's an option, I guess, that people can kind of join into the nearest public school activities.
Yeah, that's a great option. It'd be nice if there were more options that weren't in the public school for the sports, but they're really, I don't know, it might depend on where you're at. If you're in a bigger, larger metropolitan area, there probably is that.
Yeah, when I was in Rochester, one of my friends, she was part of a homeschool co-op, and they were big enough to actually have their own sports team, and then they would play the Christian schools. So like it was the homeschool co-op team of girls, and then they would play other public schools, private schools. But they were, I mean, that's Rochester, just south of the city, so it's pretty big.
Right. That's fantastic. You know, Jackie was involved in volleyball. I actually, that's one of the things I was talking to my kids, asking them before this podcast, and they all kind of said that they might have liked to have been able to be involved in more sports. And part of that was just our lifestyle too, because I always gave lessons after school. So the transportation was a bit of an issue to get to sports practices. But Eli did more individual things like taekwondo. And Jackie did volleyball for a while. She wishes I would have made her stick with it for a little bit longer. So that might be considered a con, is just trying to fit that in. But if it's important to your family, I do know families that their kids have been completely involved in a sport or two all the way through school, you know, especially if you've got a supportive public school. And there are some supportive public schools that are willing to let the homeschoolers in and be a part of their theater program. My kids all did theater, and that was huge in our life. And so theater, band, choir, and the sports, a lot of the schools are very open to that.
Kind of trying to look from the outside perspective here is that, you know, if it's like a basketball, for example, which our family really enjoys playing, and all my siblings and I still get together and play every once in a while, which is, whew, getting older now. It's like, oh my, but can still stick with them so far.
It's a bit dangerous sometimes now.
Yeah.
His age is showing.
Or my lack of exercise.
With lots of ice packs afterwards.
But you can't go but nothing but 100%. So give it your all or go home. But I feel like as an individual going to like a basketball team where, you know, you have a senior class that has, you know, a tight knit group of classmates that are kind of seeing each other every single day, all day in between classes, lunchtime, they're bonding, and you get, an outsider coming in that kind of wants to jump on board, that, yeah, the school might be super supportive, but what about, you know, the individuals? Got to get in the clique somehow. It's just kind of one of those spots. I don't know.
I think it depends on the kids too, because we had homeschoolers that were part of our sports and like coronations and all that, and we just welcomed them in. They were just like part of like, oh, they just don't go to school with us, but it was still like, you're still part of a team. You're still on the teammate, like team mentality.
Yeah, it's pretty situational maybe. And I suppose you can always find yourself in a different situation if that one's not panning out, I guess, you know. But what are some other benefits, cons, rewards, challenges that you can think of in terms of homeschooling?
Well, let's see. I've mentioned a few of the pros, like the family time and the flexibility and being able to go towards your child's strengths or weaknesses to help them. Of course, being able to incorporate your faith in your everyday life, all of your schooling, I consider those big pros. Being able to go to mass with your children, daily mass. Trying to think what some of
the
cons.
Here's a good question for you. So, which could be a con, I'm not sure. How'd you go about balancing out the role of a teacher and parent?
That is a con. It can be hard to separate the two, the role of parent and teacher. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you for that. Sorry.
No, I was always joking with Nora. I'm going to have a hat, a teacher hat. And anytime I have the hat on, I'm the teacher. Anytime I take it off, I'm the parent yelling at you to do your homework.
That's the beauty. You don't have homework in homeschool.
That's another pro for sure, is the younger kids. They can get their schoolwork done in a couple hours a day. And they really can go out to the orchard and work with you and learn all these other amazing skills. That's one of the things Eli mentioned was, you know, I got to do a lot of real life, learn a lot of real life skills, because he was more of a hands-on kid, and he helped build our house, and he, you know, did a lot of woodworking things, and he wishes that he could have worked a little bit or would have worked a little bit harder on the reading and the writing and stuff. But, you know, I told him it's not too late.
Yeah. It catches up with you eventually. Starting to write your graduate student thesis and you're like, oh my.
You know, another con is some of us aren't naturally organized. Of course, that might be a pro because it really stretches you. You have to really budget your time, you know.
Did you have a lot of prep? Did you feel like you prepped, like, I'm assuming you did like 9 months of school, 3 months off. You tried to keep that, or did you go year round?
Well, that depends too. Sometimes we'd be like, oh, we're a little bit behind. We're going to go into the summer here. I know plenty of people who did budget their time 9 months and then they took those 3 months off. I wasn't great at that. I've always said I'm really not that great of a homeschooler, but I shouldn't tell you that now, huh?
That's the thing about homeschooling, teach their own.
But, you know, the benefit, like, so Brian, he would be gone trucking for 10 days. Well, when Dad came home, we didn't do school. We hung out with Dad and we did things right. With Dad. You know, then that kind of maybe put us behind later on. Or maybe we had a play going on and things were kind of crazy, you know, hall rehearsals and stuff like that. So then we didn't get, you know, such and such. So then you'd have to work on that a little more later, you know, things like that. I was never really great at balancing that time thing. And depending on the child, they worked with that. They still worked on their own. And that's another benefit. Kids really have to learn to work independently.
Yeah, it gives them a good basis for independent work to be, you know, be able to keep yourself motivated to get things done. All good qualities for a job and things. But one of the things they always say, hey, how does they work on a team? How do they do with teamwork? I guess when a school setting, you're all kids all the same age, all working on the same project. Did you have a lot of team components, or is that where the co-ops came in?
Well, the co-ops, and sometimes the kids would do things together on projects together. And depending on the ages of your kids, that can be a thing that you do all the time. Plus, there's just the everyday living of working together as a family. You know, not that it was always perfect, for sure. But you have to learn how to work together because you're living together.
Yep. Now, I feel like Nora and I are both independently organized, sometimes not organized together, or maybe not on the same page, but I feel like she'd have control of certain subjects and maybe I'd have control of others. She's very literature-based. You know, you're looking at more like classical-based education.
Yeah, it would be like the Great Books program. Base kind of take that literature and then elevate it to different things.
Yeah. She wants to like teach her kids Latin. And I had a hard enough time with English, okay?
It's funny you say that because most people who are good at Latin actually learn English better. It's so structured and it teaches you discipline and it teaches you the rules of English without teaching you English itself.
Foreign language can be a hard thing to throw in. You're supposed to have a foreign language nowadays. Jackie did sign language through the community college. She practically had her AA when she was graduating from high school. And Katie did Spanish through another resource that we used. But, you know, I don't know a language. Well, I mean, I can sing in some languages, but I don't actually know them.
As far as, you know, you mentioned, you know, having to have a foreign language and things. So you have all these different curriculums. I guess each curriculum says you should have this done in each year, but you're also kind of supposed to graduate based on like high school standards or school education state standards or something like that. How did you go about tracking your progress of your kids? Like, how'd you know that they were indeed a junior accomplishing certain parameters of education there?
Because there are basic, you can go online, you can find the basic, what your state requires for a diploma. And it's pretty easy to know that, say, this book, this curriculum is this many hours, so it equals this credit. You know, it's not too difficult. When you go with a more structured curriculum, it'll just have that all worked out for you. So, yeah.
Being more structured, I think, is good, because then at least then you'll miss something. You know, sometimes I think if you're trying to pick something from here and pick something from there, and then I'll grab a little bit of this from over here, that you're maybe missing some foundational building blocks for later on that you needed to do back when it was the second grade.
For sure. And in topics like math, you definitely want to have, I think anyway, you definitely want to have some curriculum that because it builds, you know, and grammar's like that too. So that's kind of an important one, to have a good solid curriculum that you feel covers all of the bases and builds on itself. Yeah, for sure. There's so much out there. You'll find it.
Yeah. And I substitute taught a little bit once in a while, and it was crazy you know, the amount of second graders and stuff that had their own iPad and things like that, and technology for each and every single student, or use that as a reward tool for getting their homework done and this and that. And Nora and I are kind of minimalists when it comes to technology, when it comes to raising our children. You know, we limit, I mean, she must only get like an hour of screen time a week.
If that. I mean, family movie night on Friday or...
Yeah, okay.
And we don't even make it through a whole...
occasional dance video, so we're dancing in the living room while she's watching it type of thing, or stuff like that. National Geographic is a hit. Watch the animals and stuff. And you ask her about any animal, she'll tell you the sound of it that it makes. Even the armadillo. I don't know what the armadillo says, but she says the word pretty good. Did you incorporate technology into what you did? Or was it, I mean, you talked about the online courses a little bit that you could do and things, but I mean, this day and age, it almost seems like either you're going to include technology and kind of go with the rest of the flow of society, or you're going to limit technology, where the counter argument would be, but then your child's going to be behind in their technological awareness or
aptitude. Right. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, like, personally, in the stuff that I picked out and used with my kids, we used a lot of computer type technology, but again, we used audio stuff, which is technology. As far as the computer stuff, they did that through PSEO. They got introduced to, you know, all of that stuff. And so I feel like that was soon enough. You know, I might do it differently now because, like you said, there is so much available online. I think you guys are super smart in limiting your technology for your kids, because they don't need a cell phone, a personal cell phone, when they're teenagers.
I think I got mine when I was a junior in high school. And that's only because I was like driving and, you know.
But. Honestly, even then, I would make it a family phone.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need their own personal device until they're adults. That's my opinion. There's too much out there that's just, you know, not something you want your kids involved in.
They have dumb phones that basically you can't hook up to the internet. So,
right.
So all you get is be able to talk
and again,
to text.
Some people might call that sheltering, but you're protecting your child from things that they're not ready to deal with on their own when they're younger. You know, that's my opinion. But as far as, you know, if you have guided use of a tablet or something to help with spelling, say, or to do your multiplication tables, I mean, that sounds like a great use of technology.
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking, I'm kind of poking more fun at myself here, but I wasn't always the best at spelling, right? And I got a couple of C's on my spelling exams or tests or quizzes or whatever. And eventually, Dad downloaded Word Munchers onto the computer. And I don't know if anybody in here remembers that game, but I had to go through all the, you know, munch and eat up all the ones that's the OI sound or whatever, and all the AE sounds. You had to munch it up based upon the sound of the word. And I kind of got into that one a little bit. It was kind of fun, but there was always one sound I couldn't figure out.
Joe, you were being homeschooled.
Yeah, we did a little bit extra, right? You know, apart from public school, right? That's just parenting too, right? I mean, if your kid's struggling, you know, you got to find
a way
and
to help
out.
That's why it's hard to separate parenting from teaching, because that's, as parents, that's what we do. We teach our kids.
One last question, I guess, kind of, Joni kind of led into, is any last little bit of advice for parents like Nora and I who are considering homeschooling?
Gosh, now a bunch of things came to my mind. first of all, I would say I do it.
Just straight up. That's all.
Well, you know, since pre-COVID, it was like 2% of families were homeschooled, I believe.
No, so the pre-pandemic was, I think, 6% of the United States was homeschooled. And after it was in 2021, they released the new statistics. So after 1 year of the pandemic, 11% have now been homeschooled. And that's not including the second year of. So there's just a lot of eye-opening was happening with the parents as far as like what was being taught or what wasn't being taught or how it was being taught or when they had to go virtual.
I'm super thankful that none of my grandchildren so far, and I don't think they will, according to what, you know, my kids are saying, none of my grandchildren go to the public school. I have one in Catholic school, and that's been working out great for them. And then the other one is too young. You know, he's a year and a half. But yeah. I think they're definitely looking into homeschooling, too. You know, I don't think you'll ever regret it. And as I said, you take it year by year. A person needs to adjust and be flexible and, you know, try different things. I wouldn't be too flippy floppy, though. You know, a kid needs to have stability and know what's going to be happening. But if something isn't working out, don't be afraid to try something else as far as curriculum or, you know, like I said, just using a different co-op educational choice. That's and I'm glad we homeschooled. I would do it again. I would hopefully do it better now that I'm, you know, seasoned. Older.
Seasoned.
But it's well worth it.
Yeah. Bottom line is you can always give it a try. Like I said in the beginning, if it doesn't work out, you can always go back to plan A. So yeah. Thank you, Joni, for joining us here today and to kind of give us some guidelines and some different experiences that you've had, things to consider for us now moving forward, I guess, as far as our curriculums of choice or how we might go about shaping our homeschooling adventure. So, yeah, thank you to all my listeners again for listening today. You can find me on YouTube now, actually, and then homegrownfam@gmail.com. On Instagram, also @homegrownfam. Thanks, everybody, for listening.